same, but...
Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Tuesday night open call. And just as a reminder, right out of the box, in just several short weeks, we're going to be going to alternating open calls on Tuesday night because there is a new event webinar series that's going to be starting. And I'll let Jesse mention that along with the disclaimer, and we'll get going.
Good evening, everybody. Thanks for joining us. For all the regulars, good evening. For all those that are new, come on, welcome aboard, guys. Of course, tonight, as you know, we're going to discuss a lot of legal information, have a lot of fun doing so. But, of course, none of it should be taken as legal advice. It's not intended to be taken as legal advice. We wouldn't know how to even give legal advice. But end of the day, guys, if you want legal advice, we always, always suggest you go seek out counsel. Go see an attorney, and they can give you legal advice because they know exactly what it is. So with that being said, that's about enough of my disclaimer. I got to tell you guys, I'm absolutely ecstatic about our new series coming. I promise you. It is freaking awesome. There's never been anything like it.
Is that you making all that
anywhere
noise
that I have ever seen?
Noise?
No, I've never seen anything like it on the internet through the millions of web pages I've looked at over the years, and I don't think anybody else has. You know what I mean? And I think
right.
I think that's going to be huge when you go through. All the documents, all the motions, the answers, the affirmative defenses, the discovery responses, the interrogatories, the depositions, and then the actual trial, which is absolutely awesome. And that trial is very key because, of course, we went in there with one idea and one word I'm looking for, expectation. And we really flipped it around on them at the last minute. And, of course, till you get to the trial, you're not going to see that. And till you get to those transcripts, you're not going to see that. And if you're not a member and you're not part of the webinar, you're never going to see that. If you know, like I said, that's right. Like I said before, if you're in foreclosure or you know somebody in foreclosure, you have a family member that's in foreclosure, you can't afford to miss this, and you have to tell them, listen, guys, you got to get on because, I mean, everything you could possibly think of was thrown at us, and we overcame it, which is, you know, exactly what Lies in Your Debt's all about. It's teaching you guys how to deal head-on with this stuff rather than running away from it, how to formulate a game plan and bat them, you know, beat them right back across the – about the head, as they say, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I am absolutely, like I said, ecstatic. I cannot wait to put it on and see Judge Dave – and Terry over there for the other side, because it was a female on the other side, and or maybe I'll have John Pinson as a judge and you as the attorney. I'm not sure, David.
Yeah.
We'll see about this.
Yeah, Joe.
I guess, yeah,
we'll make John the judge and let me be the liar of record.
Yeah, so it's going to be a lot of fun, guys. I'm telling you, it's going to be a lot of fun. And we're going to extend our webinar time, hopefully, about 3 hours. So it's going to go instead of two, hopefully three, because there's a lot of information. I mean, a ton.
Yeah, there's going to be so much stuff, and then by the time you get any Q&A in after that, 2 hours would not even begin to be enough time.
No.
So if you can get that out to 3 hours, I think that'll be really, really helpful. Because I mean, that's just going to be gangbusters.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I know you've been chewing at the bit on that for a long time.
Oh man, I can't tell you all summer I've been saying I'm gonna do it. But you know, you along with John and Terry, you guys have no idea the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of pages. If it's not over 1,000. That has to be redacted, and I've just taken the time.
No.
And, oh, it's so much.
I got a real good idea.
Yeah, well, you know what I'm saying. And then
the
I got to rescan it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I got to rescan it all, and then label it and then appropriately put it in a time frame, get it ready for Gary. I mean, it's a lot of work. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's been a while, and I've had a real busy summer working on other stuff. So, you know, it's just been one of those things. But I'm excited, like I said.
And that starts exactly on what date again?
October
7th.
Yep.
October 7th.
Yep.
So beginning then, as I mentioned earlier, every other week will be an open call. And then on the off weeks, it'll be the webinar, and that'll be for members only.
That's right.
You that are thinking that even if you may possibly get in a situation coming up in the future where you might have a foreclosure, don't wait until something happens. Get in and pick this stuff up along the way as things are going. And that way you're ahead of the curve. We always talk about trying to stay ahead of the curve if at all possible. And, if you're going to have something coming along. So, all right. Well, we've got everybody with us. We've got Terry, John, Jeff, and Larry. Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Hello.
Yeah, good evening. Absolutely.
So at this time, I will mention to everybody out there, if you have good news and good news only, hit the one key on your keypad, and we'll get through good news. We want to keep it short, sweet, and to the point so that we can answer as many questions tonight as possible. So we've got a couple people up here. Let's check and, we should check and see if any of the moderators have got any good news. Do that real quick if anybody's got any.
No. Oh, go ahead, Terry. I apologize.
I just said, no, I got sore knees.
Oh. Yeah,
well. I've just got one. I don't have two sore knees.
I'm caught up and waiting on, rulings. Court rulings on the motions on the docket. So I'm spending my days on my knees scrubbing baseboards that's been piling up.
Oh. Getting caught up on housework.
Yeah.
Work.
I'd rather be doing the legal work.
I can't imagine why. Oh, dear. Okay. Anybody else got any? Jeff, John?
No. Sorry.
Okay.
Yeah, only good news is I got, we got the appeal done for the 11th, and with my appeal being done, now John's appeal is very easy.
Exactly.
So that's all good news, you know. My buddy John there is, so now he's like, wow, this isn't as hard. There's nothing to be afraid of. I said, no.
It's really exciting.
Yeah, makes it a lot easier, don't it, John? That's right.
Yes, it does. And for all the listeners out there, you know, you hear about us talking about with motions, you don't do this and don't do that and stick to the point. The appeal appears to be exactly where you can tell your story. So
yeah, and you can say how the court screwed up.
Exactly.
Yep, because that's exactly what an appeal is about. It's all about the mistakes that the lower court made. So you get to lay out your story of what happened and point the finger and say they screwed up here, 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 and here.
That's right.
Is it more like shaking the finger?
Yeah, something like that, whatever. Yeah. All right, who's making all that noise with the paper? Jesse, is that you doing that? You're famous for making noise. Now, one of our moderators is making noise with papers or whatever. So
not me this time.
I'll mute you all. Gotta look out. Okay, let's go to 770 for good news if we've got some. Do you have any good news for us tonight? 770.
Hello. Yes.
You've been unmuted.
Oh, okay. Well, I was just waiting in line because I have a couple of questions.
Okay. Okay, that's fine. That's fine. Just go ahead and stay right where you are, and we'll come back to you shortly, okay?
Okay, thank you.
All right, you bet. All right, we're going to go to, I want to make sure this thing is, this board has been really kind of pokey slow tonight for some reason. It's really slow. I'm trying to mute this call, and it's just sitting there going in circles and looking at me. There, okay. Let's go to 516. We'll see how long it takes to unmute this person. Man, this is almost Shades of the Days with TalkShoe when it was really slow in getting things unmuted. I don't know what the deal is here tonight. Okay, 516, you've been unmuted. Do you have some good news for us?
Okay, is that 516-669?
Yeah, it sure is.
Oh, okay.
Do you have good news?
Well, actually, this is my first time that I'm here on this show. I was led here by when I did some research on blog radio. And as far as the young lady, anybody else got pain or anything, I have a solution for that. It's a natural oil you can use. Get rid of it in minutes.
Okay. What we're doing, just so you know, right now, we haven't gone to Q&A yet. This is just for anybody that has any good news. So I'm assuming you don't have any at this point. So we're gonna move on to the others. If you've got a question, then you should have your hand raised, and you do that by hitting the 1 key. If you're not going to have a question, you're just going to want to listen in tonight, just go ahead after I mute you here and hit the 1 key on your phone again, and that will take you out of the queue, and that will let you listen. Okay?
I got a perfect pain remedy. You send me a maid, and I'll avoid it altogether.
You're just full of good ideas, Terry.
That would be good news.
It just solves the whole thing, doesn't it?
Yeah, that would change things. All right, we're going to try 828 for good news. 828, you
good
got
news.
Some good news
you
for
got
us?
Me? You got
That's
me?
That's you.
It's Terry. Won the summary judgment against Chase. I dismissed
you won
full
a summary judgment against Chase.
Awesome.
Dismissed their action with prejudice. It was their 8-4 closure. They're dismissed with prejudice.
Yes.
Wow.
That is awesome.
Yes.
They have failed to come up with the original document, and then they failed to show standing. And the girl knew that I was going to be the clerk of court in a couple of weeks. She was like, rule for me.
That's
first
awesome.
First time that I've ever won in this court in 20 years.
Fantastic.
Fantastic.
So,
and it's with prejudice.
So with prejudice. Because I went back and I found the federal settlement where the federal agreement said that they wouldn't file these illegal foreclosures back in 2012. And I brought that in, and I showed that, and I said, hey, you know, they're bringing the same foreclosure again that they don't have standing to bring. People need to watch the standing on this. The standing is so important. You know, they're the servicers. They're not the trustees.
They're not the owners of the notes or the trustees. You're absolutely correct.
Exactly.
And I got a ruling. Yeah, I got a ruling that's gonna. This Jesse, by the way, pal. I got a ruling that George just got that he sent me today, and it's gonna back what you're saying up. So I'm gonna talk about that after we get over the good news. So I'm gonna read this appeal. You're absolutely right on par. Absolutely.
Yeah, and so now I've won. Now I've won the dismissal with prejudice against their foreclosure, and hopefully in the next little while, I've got a lawsuit against them, and I keep telling y'all about this lawsuit. I wish y'all would publish it. I sent it to you, where I sued Jim Diamond of Chase. I sued the CEO of Chase. He's got to show up in Asheville, North Carolina, way up here in the Boondock Mountains of North Carolina, next week for a deposition. I got Marlene Lake, their CFO. I've got the new people that they sold the loan to. I did depositions on all of them. And the way I won it was, see, North Carolina has a thing, if you don't participate in the action, if you don't participate in the discovery, your stuff has to be dismissed. She had no choice.
Wow.
Joanne Finkelstein, an attorney for the clerk, and this was the clerk that I ran against and beat in May. So I'm going to be the foreclosure judge here in January.
Look out, North Carolina.
Hey, David Thompson down in some other people that use CFLA's work product won a TRO down in Charlotte a couple of days ago. So that there's all kinds of good news coming out of North Carolina, because we have, you know, we really, foreclosure in North Carolina has been just the cookie cutter, these big attorney firms doing whatever they wanted to do. So I'll let it go because I know y'all got to get to the next one.
Good y'all work, good neighbor.
Oh yeah, well give me a call. I'll send you the data. I'll send y'all a bunch of stuff. Y'all put it up. Y'all more than welcome put it up on the website with everything else.
Yeah, why don't you send that? Go to the website tonight while we talk, and send that
y'all
to Gary.
I sent it to Stephen Carey Stones. Carey, C-A-R-Y.
No, Gary, our webmaster.
Oh, okay.
Just go over to the website. Yeah, hit contact us and send it in there. He'll send it over to me.
I'll scan the judgment. I just got it a couple of hours ago.
Awesome,
so it's
man.
It's like, you know, a summary judgment with prejudice. You know,
fantastic.
So, like, you know, so that's like kicking their butts.
That's what I want, Dave.
Okay.
Yeah, really.
Well,
yeah.
Right. I'll let y'all get with it. Okay, bye.
All righty. Thank you so much. Appreciate the good news. No, that's not good news. That's fabulous news. That's absolutely fabulous news. Love it. All right. Well, we don't have anybody else that's raising their hand for good news. So I believe we're going to go forward with Q&A.
Let me finish this. Let me finish this, Dave.
Yeah.
Remember I told you I want to talk about this ruling and
his decision. Yep.
And that's Pennington here. Just I'll put it up for the members. It's Pennington versus Aucoin. And George Jingo did this one. And it's so simple. And you guys always hear us talk about the importance of deposing people. Don't let it slide. You have to depose people, especially in a foreclosure. And you also hear us talk about the importance of an assignment. Why is getting to the bottom of assignment so important to you? He said it, standing. Standing. That's huge. So anyway, we did our normal, you know, nonsense, or they pulled their normal nonsense. We did our normal reaction. And the court reads, decision is this. Mark Pennington appeals the final summary judgment in favor of Aucoin Mortgage foreclosure case because Aucoin failed to establish its standing to foreclose or to refute, listen carefully, or to refute Pennington's affirmative defense contesting standing. We reverse and remand for further proceedings. Goes on, April 2007, this is an old case, executed a promissory note, yada, yada, yada. On behalf of EQ, attached the note within a lounge, making the note payable to Countrywide. In January of 2009, MERS transferred the mortgage and the note to Aucoin. Okay? So this actually happened. Transfer made no reference to the lounge or Countrywide. I'm going to repeat this again, guys. On January of 2009, MERS transferred the mortgage and the note to Aucoin. The transfer made no reference to the lounge or Countrywide. When Pennington failed to make a payment, Aucoin filed a complaint to foreclose. However, after filing the complaint, Aucoin assigned the mortgage. Now, after filing the complaint, they assigned the mortgage and note now to Federal Home Loan Mortgage Corporation, Freddie Mac, who eventually assigned it back to Aucoin. Now, see all these freaking games? In the final transfer, however, and this is the key, guys, the assignment only referenced the mortgage and not purport to transfer the note. Pennington's answer to Aucoin's complaint raised an affirmative defense of lack of standing, arguing Aucoin was not entitled to enforce the note. Aucoin moved for summary judgment during the subsequent hearing on the matter. Aucoin's records custodian admitted that the final assignment from Freddie Mac to Aucoin was only for the mortgage and not the note. Pennington moved for an involuntary dismissal based on lack of standing, which the trial court denied. At the conclusion of the hearing, the trial court granted summary judgment for Aucoin. Now, their argument's going to be, well, we're holding the note. I don't care. Remember what I've always said, guys? During my deposition with BOA, and I deposed them, I grabbed the note from the guy's hand. I said, well, I'm the holder of the note. What the hell does this mean? I'm just holding a piece of paper. doesn't mean anything from a legal standpoint, right? So anyway, at the end of the day, that was the ruling. It's basically been reverse remanded back. The final paragraph just says the final assignment of the Freddie Mac to Ocwen was only for the mortgage. Ocwen's own records custodian admitted as such, notwithstanding the lack of evidence to prove Countrywide's assignment. So they even mentioned that one. Even if Ocwen did have standing at the commencement of the suit, it would have lost such standing when it no longer was legally entitled to own or enforce the note. So reversing summary judgment for lack of standing because of assignment was only for the mortgage and not the note. So anyway, they reversed the whole thing, got a good ruling on it in our favor based on the simple lack of proper assignment and the confusion. They play the shell game. It goes back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And how many times, Dave or John, have we heard our people say, well, dang it, I looked up Freddie Mac and they say they own it, but somehow so-and-so is foreclosing on me.
Too many.
And that's right. It happens every week without fail. So the problem that you're facing is you're not deposing the custodian of records, saying, who has the note? And let me see the transfer of it. That's the problem. You're not initiating the FDCPA or whatever lawsuit you can as per your state, going after that trustee and after that servicer, whoever it was, bringing them in, and then start getting depositions, start getting straight answers to who owns what and how it got there. Because that's huge, man, huge. So as you can see, guys, he just got a summary judgment with prejudice. This will be reversed and remanded. The case will go away. It's a case from 07, so as soon as the clock ticks over in 14, it's going to be 7 years old. You know, statute of limitations issue, et cetera, et cetera. I don't need to elaborate on that. So all I can say to you guys is don't miss October 7th. Just don't miss it. It's going to blow your mind away. So that's it, Dave. I just want to discuss that because right on the tails of him winning his case. It was fantastic.
Absolutely. And that's where we need to have it. That will give everybody a little bit of an idea of the type of things that are going to be covered in this webinar series that Jesse is going to be doing. And for those of you that may be new on here and don't know it, Jesse has won 3 foreclosure trials so far this year. Not in the last 5 years, this year, on his own properties, not somebody else's, including the one that he lives in. So he obviously knows what he's doing. And you're going to have the opportunity to look right over his shoulder all the way from the beginning to the end of one of those particular cases. And he's going to show you all of the documents, all of the pleadings, all of the motions, all of the strategy, everything, all the arguments made and everything else, so that you get a bird's eye view of exactly how the whole thing went down from beginning to end. And you can't argue with his success. So, you know, if you miss it, shame on you.
That's what I always say, Dave. You can't argue with experience, my friend.
Right, exactly. And you don't talk it, you walk it.
Yep, I try.
That makes a big difference. Okay, we are at the Q&A stage of things. Those people that have questions, you can hit the one key on the keypad on your phone, and that will put you in the queue. And I'm going to remind everybody here, please be concise in your questions. We can't have a 5-minute dissertation. And it's my job as a moderator to clamp down on anybody, including Jesse, who wants to talk too much. And I'm going to do my job. So please be forewarned. We want to try and get as many people answered tonight as we possibly can. So be courteous to everybody else. Be concise. And let's now get into a bunch of sidetrack talk on things. So let's go to 978. 978, you've been unmuted. Go ahead. You're on.
Is it me?
You're on.
Yeah. Okay. Jesse, this is a small good news, but nothing big like the other guy. I have a settlement with one of the strong arms of Bank of America, but it's so much in things that I have to, give up on this settlement. Are they standard?
Listen, I'm going to tell you this like I tell everybody else. When you sign a settlement, you should only include up to that date and through that date and for that violation and strictly only that violation. Nobody else, no future assigns, you know, subsidiaries, unknown companies, friends and family of, No. So you don't have to give away all that if you just stand your ground and say, no, I'm only settling for this up and through this date, for whatever sign this agreement, for that violation, any other things that you might do down the road, or somebody I don't even know who's your affiliate or who's your subsidiary or who's your partner. You got to turn that down because I can hear myself in the background.
Yeah, I was
going
to say, if you're on a speakerphone or something, you need to get off of that.
Sorry.
Huge feedback.
Yeah.
How about now?
So again, don't give up an inch because you don't have to, buddy.
I will. Now, Jesse, Tila, I was listening to your Tila recently. Do you think we can mix Tila with FDCBA? Because I'm thinking to file a lawsuit.
Yeah, the problem with Tila is Tila just has no teeth, man. I just don't, you know, I mean, you can, but I mean, really, what are you going to get out of it? What's the end result using it? That's the reason I ask that question all the time.
It's only about the family saving the
helping family save their homes. Okay. Yeah, they don't meet those requirements. Yeah, absolutely.
It is okay. All right. Hey, thank you. That's it for me.
Okay. You have
all
a good
righty.
Night, pal.
Thank you very much. Okay. And I do want to just remind everybody that I didn't say it before. One question, please, and then if you've got additional questions, we'll recycle you back around. So let's go to 702 for your question. You've been unmuted. Go ahead, please.
Hello. Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
I used to be a member of the site, and I was a member for about a year, and then I got into some really tight financial problems, so I had to resign myself from the website. I was sick and had a blown engine in my work truck and everything. But without
sorry to hear that, man.
Yeah, well, I got to tell you, without being a member of the site, I would have probably been on the streets because I was able to get about $12,000 from debt collectors. And someone
That's my boy.
And I tell you, it really helped, and I've got a better understanding of the court system and everything. It just gave me, you know, a real, real foot in the door with that. Without it, I'm telling
that's
you,
awesome,
I would have been
man.
Really hurting without those checks. Well, anyway, that being said, I just wanted to say thanks to you guys because you guys are really, really legitimately doing a very valuable service, and I really appreciate it.
Well, we thank you, man.
I would still be a member if I wasn't still in some financial ruins, but maybe one day when I get some more going on. But now I'm facing problems with my credit report with FIA Card Services and Chase because they made some charge-offs on my that are showing on my credit report on all three of them. And when I try to go get a job, people are looking at this and they're thinking the worst of me because of those charge-offs. And I disputed those almost 2 years ago now. And I was wondering, I know back when I was a member that some of you guys said to do something about it, and others said it's really hard to do something about them car shops, but is there anything I could do to get these guys to cooperate and do something about them?
Well, the best thing I can tell you is you need to find a way to get back in and become a member of the website because all the information you need to deal with that exact problem you've got is right in the website because Terry just recently finished an 8-segment webinar series that from end to end on the FCRA tells you how to deal with everything. That's why
you really need
to get find the way to get back in that website. It'll pay you back. It'll put the money in your pocket just like it did before. And,
so
you know, that old saying, where there's a will, there's a way.
Specifically
yeah,
dealing with the charge-offs?
Yep.
Terry, you
want to
address that?
I'm sorry. I was trying to say, you know, you can find someone to split the membership with. But it's a process. You know,
mm-hmm.
you have to the first thing I would say is you already disputed him before. You didn't get anywhere. You need to do it again.
Okay. I disputed with both the credit reporting agency and with the credit card companies or whatever they are, FIA Card Services and Chase.
Right. That's
so
the bank.
I think I was I did some good things there by doing that, but I guess I don't know
but
how to proceed.
Like,
so.
Yeah, like Terry says, it's a process to deal with things. It's
there's
no magic
individual
bullet. You do this one thing and everything falls into place. And that's why you need to get back into the website so that you can study that material and learn that process so you can get your results and put some more money in your pocket.
And the reason, one of the reasons I say you need to get on it and do that, do the disputes again, is because you already wasted a lot of time since your dispute, which burns up statute of limitations. Did you just get your credit report again?
Yeah, probably about three months ago, I think it was.
Okay, then I wouldn't waste any time. You know, get on it so that you're not burning up your statute of limitations on your disputes, et cetera. But you need to do that over again. And you may get, you know, after all this time, you may get a different result even than you got the first time. I mean,
okay.
I did. But it is a process, and you need to go in there and go through the whole series so that you know step by step what you do first, what you do next, and how to follow up.
Okay. All right.
All right.
So then that again was called an 8 series F on the FCRA?
Yeah,
it's
a webinar series, What Lies in Your Credit Report.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. Well, that answers my question.
All righty.
That's it. Thank you very much, Dave, Jesse.
You bet.
Appreciate
glad to hear you did good.
Night.
Yep. Now we just got to get you back in there to take the next step and let them put some more money in your pocket.
Absolutely.
I'll do that. All right. All right. You guys have a good evening. Take care now.
Thanks.
Yeah,
you
man.
Too.
Bye.
All right. Let's go to 516. You've been unmuted. Go ahead, please.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, we sure can.
Okay. Good evening to everybody there. Hope everybody's healthy and happy. I had a third-party collector 6 years ago file a judgment against me in court, and I found out about it recently because I wasn't paying attention to my credit. I had been going through divorce and all kind of things. It kept me busy for a while and trying to start up my own little business and whatnot. So I went to the court. I did an order to show cause. Then I filed a notice of objection and whatnot. But the judge is just not giving in. And the last time I was there, according to New York City, New York Civil Rules of Procedure, I think it's 3211, number 10, that if both parties must be present, and I raised it, and because the plaintiff wasn't there, but the attorney for the plaintiff was there, and that was the second time, and he still wouldn't rule on it, and it said on the court thing that I got from the clerk that both parties have to appear. So how does somebody deal with something like that? I got this thing coming up on the 15th.
Well, just remember, listen, the attorney is there for the party, so that's good enough.
So the plaintiff doesn't have to be there?
No. The plaintiff's attorney is walking in the plaintiff's shoes.
Yeah, they're there as a representative of the plaintiff in that case.
Yeah.
So they can't be a factual witness and be a counsel at the same time, though, right?
No, he can't testify to any facts to anything. So, you know,
right. At
the end of the day, but what I'm saying is he's not – the plaintiff has always been there, that the attorney's there.
Okay. So, I mean, I asked them to show the – They mentioned that there was a contract between me and this third party debt collection. I asked, so the contract was never there. The process wasn't served properly and everything. And still, it doesn't seem to be going in my direction.
Well, the biggest thing that you need to focus on is if you were not served properly, then the court never had jurisdiction to render a judgment. That, more than anything, is what you need to focus on. Where is there proof that you were served and had notice of the lawsuit and even had a chance to defend it? Forget about the contract stuff. If they didn't serve you properly, you never had an opportunity to defend yourself, and therefore you were denied due process, and the judgment is void ab initio, or from the beginning.
Right.
That's where you need to focus your argument.
I tried to do that. What happened was they had an affidavit in there by somebody who supposedly came by the house and served it, and they served it to a miss, not to a mister. They're supposed to serve it to me personally, and it was never really served to me. There was no miss at 25 years old at that address, but there was that affidavit, and I tried to rebut the affidavit by stating that there was nobody there, and I never received it personally. And there was no proof that was shown except for that affidavit in the court filings. So I don't understand how.
Okay. They're saying that they served a 25-year-old female.
Yeah.
Was there a female? What?
I'm not a female, so I mean.
No, I understand that. That's obvious. Was there a female at the address at that point in time that could have been served of any age?
Just my mother, but she may or may not have been there. Or she may have been out that day.
Okay, but she obviously, if she was 25, that means you had to be about, what, 5 or 6 years old maybe?
Yeah.
Which, obviously, you wouldn't have had an account if you were 5 or 6 years old. The point is that there was no female even remotely close to that age that could have been served at that address. Now, when you make a statement in court, you are making nothing more than noise like an air conditioner or if somebody burps. You need to provide an affidavit to the court. You need to produce an affidavit stating under oath, under penalty of perjury, that at the time service was alleged to be made, there was no female resident or visitor anywhere near the age of 25, and in fact, the only female that could have been at the premises at that point in time was your mother, who at that time would have been how many years old? 52, you know, 49, 60? Okay. Okay, but you need to do that in affidavit form, and you need to do a proper affidavit. Do you know how to do that?
I'm kind of just been going on the internet and just...
Okay, well, there are certain rules that you have to have. Are you a member?
No, I'm not a member yet. I have been, like I said, I have been...
I'm just trying to find out, because if you're a member, I would send you in to the webinar. The bottom line on an affidavit is that you have to make statements. You can look up a basic layout of an affidavit on the internet. You can find examples. But keep in mind a couple of things. An affidavit has to be statements of your firsthand fact knowledge. It can't be an opinion. Well, I don't believe that there was anybody. You don't say that. There was no female resident or otherwise that visited that premises in the age group anywhere near 25 years of age. And then you can make another statement. The only female that would have been at that residence at that time was affiant's mother, who would have been 60 years old at that point in time. And you don't say, and obviously could not have been mistaken for a 25-year-old. You don't put that in there because you're making a conclusion.
Right.
You only state the facts as you know them firsthand. And you
Correct.
Get that you get that affidavit notarized and you file it into that case before that hearing. And then my suggestion is to have a couple copies of that when you go into court. And when you file that into that case, mail a copy of that to the other party, to the lawyer on the other side immediately.
Okay.
Okay.
And that's through a third-party processor, like a friend or somebody, and then get it notarized and stuff like that?
No, no. I didn't say anything about a third-party process server. I said mail it to them. What you have to do is you write up that affidavit. Affidavit of fact. I, so-and-so, being of sound mind and over the age of 21 years of age, do hereby state under penalty of perjury, blah, 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 the following facts. You can find examples out there. And then you just have, number one, on the date alleged service was made, March 2nd, 2008, there was no female resident or visitors at such and such a street.
Okay.
Address. Gotcha. And then you can make another statement. Number two, the only female resident or visitor was... your mother was affiant's mother, who at that time was age 60. And then three, the affidavit of service contained in this case states that the person served was 25 years old. Okay, you can state that because you've looked at it, right? You know that. It's first-hand fact information. Keep in mind, I'm going to warn you, don't make any statement that comes to a conclusion because of this, that is the case. Don't do that. Make sure you stay on point and just do those things. And file that into the case. Get it in. If you can get it into that case tomorrow, that's not soon enough. Okay? It's not too soon. And then after you get it notarized, it has to be done under penalty of perjury. And you file the original with the court, the one that's got your original signature and the original notarization. Go file that into that court case. Then you send make some copies of that and send a copy to the lawyer on the other side immediately by mail.
Okay.
And put a certificate of service with it. Do you know what that is?
I've heard of it.
Okay. Yes, certificate of service just says certificate of service. The and the attached document filed with the court on such and such a date, a copy was served to the party named below, and then put the lawyer's name and, you know, their law firm and their address and everything, and then you sign it.
Right. The court
What?
The court had provided, the clerk had provided me that before when I had to serve the notice of objection when I served it.
Yeah, okay. Well, it's the same thing. You just fill it out. You just make sure that one of those is done, and you file that with that affidavit when you file it with the court.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
And then you get that in the mail to them so that they've got it before that hearing. You said the hearing is next week?
Yeah, on the 15th of October. And
oh,
you know, the crazy
okay.
thing
All
is, right. I went to the clerk's office, and I said, I'd like to get an accounting for this. I just thought of reading stuff on the Internet. Accounting for this case, because only for $4,000, and, you know, we've already been
twice. Forget all that kind of stuff. That's not going to get you anywhere.
But you know what the crazy thing is, my friend? That she told me that the folder, because I wanted to see what's in the folder in case something else was put in there by the attorney, and she said it was sitting in the judge's chambers.
Okay.
And I couldn't access it. I couldn't understand that. I was going to go today, but I had some emergency came up.
Well, that they can have it sitting wherever they want it. They're the court.
Okay.
That doesn't matter. Don't get yourself wound up about that. Get that affidavit done and get it filed with the court with a certificate of service. Send a copy to the other side so that it's in the court record. When you go to court that day, have a couple copies, because what you'll do is tell the judge, well, Your Honor, September 16th or whatever it was, I filed an affidavit of fact with the court challenging, you know, stating that there was no person that could have been served this lawsuit. And one of the statements you want to make in that affidavit is affiant so-and-so was never served with notice of the lawsuit in case number so-and-so, so-and-so, at any time. And what you're doing is you are putting sworn testimony into the court. Then all of a sudden, you've put the court in a position where they got to pay attention to it. Whereas the difference between you putting it on paper and filing that into the case and just standing in the courtroom and saying something, it's a night and day difference. Because when you go in there and just state it, that's just like, you know, the same as air conditioner noise. It doesn't mean anything. Whereas the written, that is sworn testimony that is on the record. That's how important it is, okay?
Mm-hmm. Can I get a clarification on something? I'll take
yeah,
that
ahead,
as a
Mark.
Yes.
Yeah.
Did your mother accept service of the complaint or not?
No, she did not. Nobody here is even aware of that service.
Okay. Maybe I missed it, but Dave, did you recommend that she submit an affidavit as well?
I did not, but that would be a good idea if he could have her do that. Absolutely.
Okay.
She could
well,
do
and
an
and
affidavit.
If she can, yeah, if,
yeah,
if
go
it's
ahead,
possible,
Larry.
It may not be possible, especially this far from the actual supposed service. See if she can say that she was at somewhere else at the time, or at the very least say that she was the only person there during that period, you know, something to that effect. But again, you know, firsthand knowledge.
Correct. That makes sense.
Yeah.
That does make sense. Okay, so...
Okay, David, I think we've spent enough time
yeah,
answering one question.
Say, yeah,
I have
gotta,
to moderate you
answer.
Now.
Yep, yep. No. We wanted to get him out, but we can't discuss it any further. We gotta move forward, okay?
We're going to move on
yeah.
now.
Can yep. I get back in the queue? I have one quick question. After
you
yeah,
can,
get back in the queue.
After I mute you here, take and... hit the one key and take you out of the queue, and then hit the one key again and put yourself back in, okay?
Thank you.
You bet. All right, we're going to go to 305. We're going to go down to Jesse's neck of the woods down in Florida if the board will unmute here like it's supposed to. Come on. This thing's balky tonight. Okay, 305-439, you've been unmuted. Go ahead.
Wow, that was quick. Hey, guys, how you doing?
Good.
I was listening to you, David. Talking about David. Dave, talk about the affidavit. When they ignore the affidavit, like so, if they were to still render judgment against him, although he did the affidavit without addressing the affidavit, how would he go about getting his point across on that affidavit that was never addressed?
Well, there's no pat answer to that because you don't know what the circumstances are and what a ruling would be based on. I mean, that's
no, no,
that
you
got to
make it. You got to bring
no, no,
it
no.
up.
What with the affidavit? What I understand is when you do an affidavit, it's a sworn testimony. Can they overlook
yeah.
it?
No, they only overlook it if you don't present it correctly, meaning an affidavit is usually attached to some kind of motion.
Right, all of that was done, but it was still overlooked, like it was not addressed at all. So
it,
how
it's not overlooked, you didn't bring it up.
No, I brought it up.
Then how can it be overlooked? What'd they say, we're going to overlook it, keep going?
No, they just...
So how do you know? Then you didn't present it properly. It's still on the record. It's irrelevant. If you got to do an appeal, they never rebutted your – I just read it today. I just gave you the case that George just won based on that fact alone.
I'm sorry. I came in kind of late because I Holly left work. so I missed that part.
Oh, yeah,
that's just an
appeal, and basically they never rebutted it. They never rebutted the affirmative defenses. They never rebutted the affidavit, so it was just turned over an appeal. You present it correctly with saying, well, listen, I have on an affidavit here all the facts presented. How have they rebutted this? Show me evidence on the record that you've rebutted this affidavit with more facts from your side. That's how you bring it up. You can't just say, well, it's there. You got to talk about it. What are all the facts? And that's the argument. I have an affidavit to support all my facts. Where's your rebuttal?
Okay.
That's how you bring it up clean and clear.
Okay.
It's easier said than done, so don't get it wrong. I'm just saying that it's something that has to be looked at. You know what I mean?
No, what I'll do is I'll go over the call again after this call is done, or probably tomorrow sometime, because I missed the first part. The second part was juicy. The part that I came into was something really good, but it's recorded, so I'll get it.
Right.
Yep. Okay, that answer your question?
Yes.
All righty. Thank you, dear. All right. We're going to go to another 305-766.
Hey, guys. Jonathan in Miami. How you doing?
Pretty
good.
How
are
you?
Good, good, good. Here, just working on this case against Morris Hardwick Snyder. I think we spoke a few times about me filing an amended complaint. So I kind of got through that here, and now I filed this April 25th. That was my initial filing, and I'm talking to opposing counsel about getting this discovery going so we could get our 26F meeting going finally. And he's basically saying that he wants to wait for an answer. He wants to file a stay on discovery until the judge rules in regards to his motion to dismiss. And I'm like, well, I'm going to file a response in opposition to your motion because it's already been a very long time. Your motion might get dismissed or it might get, approved with leave to amend. So I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about.
you're kind of dumbfounding me because you're telling me you still have not had a 26F meeting?
Yes.
That makes no sense, does it, guys? This late in the game?
It's your responsibility to make it happen. And when he doesn't agree, then you do your own and submit it to the court.
Yeah. You say, listen, I can't get cooperation from the other side, yada, 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 and you submit it. Just like Dave said, the hell with him.
Right. And I have done that. I have actually done that.
Because that is a delay tactic, so you need to get the ball rolling with that. With your 26F, you can tell them that it's, impeding on your
moving your case
here.
Forward.
Yeah. And you want to get it out of the court and you're wasting resources and, whatever.
Okay. So I can go ahead and just file my own track case management.
Well, what I would do is I would notice him in writing. Don't do it verbally. You want to have a record and tell him, look, are you going to agree to a conference? The scheduling conference with me, yes or no? If you do not agree to have a scheduling conference by such and such a date, and I wouldn't give them any more than about, at your stage of the game, I wouldn't give them any more than about 5 to 7 days max,
right.
then I am going to file my own scheduling report with the court and state that you refuse to cooperate.
Okay. Perfect.
And then see what he does. And if he doesn't cooperate, then do exactly what you said you're going to do.
Okay.
And while you're waiting for the judge's order on that, get your discovery up and ready to go.
Yep.
That's right.
All righty. Appreciate
it. Okay.
Sounds terrible, doesn't it? But it's truth. It's the easiest way to do it, man. You got to go back and attack them. You can't wait around, man.
Okay.
Yep.
All right.
Always remember that it's the best defense to anything that they're doing is a good offense. So go after them.
Okay.
That's
Even
right.
though you're a plaintiff there, they're trying to stop you. Don't let them.
Okay. Awesome. Thanks, Emil. Thank you.
You bet.
All right. Bye.
All right. Let's go to Las Vegas, 702. You've been unmuted. Go ahead.
Okay. If you can hear me, I guess that's me.
We can hear you. You're doing well.
All righty. Well, this is that guy in Las Vegas again. Looks like I got a buddy out
there
somewhere.
Oh, man, that guy in Las Vegas. He's always out there. Man, doesn't he ever go home and take a rest?
Yeah, but you know what? This stuff is starting to kind of ebb up all around the country here. My nephew called me yesterday, and he told me that he was being sued. He's got a summons to go to court for a BK. Well, here's the story. My nephew's parents bought him a
car.
You got to
make it quick.
Years ago.
You got to make this
okay,
quick.
Bought it, oh, it's only about four sentences. They bought him a car a couple of years ago. They filed BK about 6 months or so ago. The BK is over. And so the BK attorney told him, oh, everything is clear. So my nephew sold the car and bought another car. Now the BK lawyer's coming after him saying that, hey, you owe us the cash equity. And they have put in the paperwork that he was involved with his parents' bankruptcy and that they had served him at some other address, blah, blah, blah. It's like, I guess, you know, I'm at a loss here. I know that he wasn't served, number one, because he had nothing to do with the BK, and he wasn't at the house that they said he was served at. But I can't understand how, you know, they can put him into his parents' BK when his name wasn't on it any kind of way.
They can't.
Well,
yeah.
Well, how was it that he sold a car that he didn't have the title to?
Well, if the parents bought the car, and then the parents were told that the BK was over, everything was clear, and so they sold the car and paid off the lien. So the lien holder is all of it. You know, he's paid off, but they had equity
in
the car. And then he took the equity and purchased another car.
But the
lawyer
excess.
Is saying those funds were supposed to be included in the parents' BK. And so, you know, they're saying, well, you're part of this, and so since you did this.
Well, it's because he was involved. That's why they're saying that, because he sold it. He was involved.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the problem. But it's going to go back onto the lawyer because the lawyer said you're clear. So that could go back to malpractice on that attorney's part.
Right. Right. So that's the only reason they sold it. Okay.
Yeah.
So.
Right, on the advice of the attorney.
That's right.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So then
if I were you, I'd be calling the attorney back.
Okay, go after his errors and omissions insurance.
Right.
No, I just call him and say, listen,
well,
this is a problem. How are you going to fix
it? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You said
you said we could sell the car and there's a problem here. So step up and
fix it.
get this done.
That's right.
Right.
Okay, thank you.
All right, you're welcome. Okay. We get all sorts of different wrinkles here, don't we, Jesse? All right.
It never fails, brother.
Yeah.
It makes it fun.
Yeah, it does. It makes it very interesting. It challenges you. Okay, 347, you've been unmuted. Go ahead, please. Area code 347.
I want to know, once you sign up on the website, because a lot of people saying that they use it to collect money from the debt collectors, is there a template on your site to follow? Like how
I'm
to
sorry?
Write up the paperwork?
Yeah, there's a whole entire system there for everybody to look at and work off of.
Okay, so it's much more like a cut and paste. You put your information in and use the steps.
No, there's examples there. There's not templates. There's examples.
Oh,
okay?
Examples.
Which you can cut and paste. Yeah, but see, everybody's different. I don't know what your exact situation is, so I can't say, yeah, just use this template. It doesn't work that way anywhere in the court system with anybody. It's impossible.
Yes, well, I know all of that. I already know that. I just want to make sure that you have example or template so that when we started, you know, we use up, put your information and you word it different, but we have a template or something to follow.
Oh, yeah, we got hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of them in there. So, no problem, sweetheart. Yeah, that's what you're asking. It's there.
Okay, that's what I want to know. Thank you.
All righty. Thank
you.
You
have a good night.
You too.
Okay, let's go to 978. 494, you've been unmuted. Go ahead.
All right. My next question is about finding pleadings and old cases from Jesse or others in our in the website. Is it me or it's hard to find?
The what? I'm sorry?
It's hard to find the law
case
cases
law is
that
what
you
you're talking about?
Case laws that you upload on the website.
There's a ton of them.
In
I
the
don't know what you're having.
Under what tab?
Pleadings.
Under the form?
Would that be the pleadings library in the form?
Yeah.
Right.
There's all kinds of documents in there. There's cases in there. If you go to Legal Lounge, there's a ton of cases there. I don't
Can
know
you
what
use
you're looking
the search
for.
Function in that form?
Yeah, of
I
course.
Do, but it's... Yeah.
What kind of cases are you looking for? That's what you got to boil it down to.
So if I go by state or I go by FDCPA, FCRA?
You go by state.
Okay.
What are you looking for? That's the question.
You spoke for so many case laws that you had in seminars, and I really searched it, but I can't find it. So it looks like I can now. Thank you.
Okay.
All right. Thank you very
much.
All
right. All right. You're welcome. Okay. Yeah, Jeff, you might want to put your boom up a little bit.
Oh, sorry.
Okay.
Yes, Mr. Jeff.
Let's go to 770. He got a new phone that's really super sensitive.
That's awesome.
Yes, hi.
Good evening. How are you?
Okay. This is Ulysses. You know, I'm a new member, maybe a couple of months now, and I'm trying to bite just a bit of the elephant at a time, not the whole thing, okay?
That's right.
That's
you
good.
Got it, man.
You're doing the right thing.
Okay.
Good
now,
deal.
This foreclosure, I followed the first steps as suggested in the non-judicial process here. When you receive the non-default, non-sale, notice of default and notice of sale, okay? I filled out the maybe a 30-page, 5 counts against MERS, Fannie Mae, the servicer, the lawyer, and the person who's trying to sell the home, the realtor, okay?
Right.
I went through the process. I went to the Secretary of State because three of them is outside of the state of Georgia. And we filed that. And somehow it got all confused, but we sent straightened it out, and I got the certificates for those, right? And the one person that was here, and I want to make a long story short, is like I've done everything I'm supposed to do with the exception of servicing the lawyer, right? But I've just done that last week because he's in a county in Georgia, and I tried Secretary of State, but they wouldn't do it, so we had to go to that county far away. And we've served him, and I have the, I haven't received the sheriff department actually issuing this the notice, right? Now, I'm wondering, I know that this was just to buy time, okay? It was explained to me while doing it. It may buy me, I think it was it Jesse or was it John that does that that tutorial in regards to this here, that petition, because it was suggested, I think Jesse suggested that I sue both in Superior Court and in Federal court. Well, I haven't gotten to the federal yet, but I've already put the petition in and filed it with the Superior Court of Henry County here. Okay, now I received from the attorney a document because I also did the, let me go back a little bit, I also did the qualified written request, okay, and he sent me back a copy of the deeds or something like that. Now, remind you, you told me to go out and get all the documents out of the records from the recorder's office. Now, I got all those documents. Everything you instructed me to do, I've done all that. And the assignment is just bogus. I just don't know what to do here. I know we're just buying time, but can I go out and try to because this guy is trying to sell the property, and they do that on the first Tuesday, and he haven't been able to do anything because of the petition. But I'm feeling like the petition is you know, he put in a motion for dismissal, and he said I had 18 counts, everything. He just stepped on everything that I've done. Like it was all wrong, barred this and that, and it was a defense.
Who did it? In the state court, right?
It's in the state court. I didn't take it to federal yet, Jesse.
I told you where your advantage is going to be, and you ain't done it.
Okay, tell me again, please.
In that federal court.
Okay. All right. Yes. You know what I did, and maybe I did something wrong here, Jesse. I was trying to buy as much time as I could in Superior Court, and then go to the federal court.
No, you got to do it all at the same time, man.
Wrong.
Yeah, you can't do it like that. You got to do it all at the same time.
All right. Now, where do I go on the website here so I can get that information to proceed?
Undertaking their money section. It's always been there. Ain't nothing new. It's not hiding from you. It's right
okay,
there.
Okay, because I've been coming back and trying to go from the beginning and learning this process from the beginning so I don't miss anything. And when I start to do that, I get a better understanding when I hear you guys talk on these conversations tonight, the webinars or the telephone conversation, the conference that we be having. And I get better understanding because I feel so confused and so lost a lot of times. I'm like, oh, my God, this is just overwhelming. But when I go from the beginning of the website, from using the website and everything from the beginning, it simplifies things. It makes it easier. I'm like, wow, I'm beginning to understand the language.
That's right.
English. So now I've been going back to that. But, you know, I'm doing what you say with the exception of that federal, and I think that I'm doing an outstanding job, and I just haven't gotten any results yet. But am I on the right track with that attorney? Because I know it's only for 2 months, maybe a couple of months, and when I receive the summons that he's been served by the sheriff, I'm going to have to go in and then file that with the petition, and then they're going to give me a court date. That's exactly what you guys said to do.
Exactly.
So now, the only thing I need to do, Jesse, is just to go to file this in federal court.
Well, it's not just that. You got to analyze all that stuff and see what it is you're going to go after him for.
Okay, because
okay? That's important, man. Because if not, you're going to get dismissed up there.
Okay, okay. Now, do I need this?
You keep asking question after question. You know, it's supposed to be one question.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I won't be so.
Now tomorrow
okay.
at 3 o'clock, I have the foreclosure webinar. You can ask me all you want. Be there at 3 o'clock, and I can go into details on this stuff.
Okay. Very good. I'll talk to you tomorrow at 3.
That way you can gather your thoughts. Yeah. Gather your thoughts
yep.
and your questions, and we'll go for there. Okay, pal.
Okay. I really appreciate you guys have helped
me
a lot. Thank you so
I'm
much.
I'm happy that you're going to be there tomorrow. Okay, bud.
All right. Bye bye.
Yep. That's going to be a good time. All
yeah.
right. Let's go to 207. 207, you've been unmuted. Go ahead, please.
Hello, this is Beverly in Maine.
Hi, Beverly.
Hey, Beverly in cold Maine. You can have it.
Oh,
how are you?
I've been very sick. I've been in the hospital.
Oh, gosh. Sorry to hear that.
Sorry to hear that.
I have a need to talk to Jesse. So, Jesse, I'm going to be on that call tomorrow. However,
fantastic.
I have some good news in Maine. The Maine Supreme Court ruled that MERS could not foreclose if they were mentioned as a nominee in an assignment situation. Did I make
that sense? That is awesome.
It's incredible.
Yes,
so
it is.
That's one house that I'm, you know, I replied. I was in an appeal. I just kept appealing this because it just was wrong. And so I'm hoping that I'll be able to take care of that. However, I have another house where I have this predatory lender servicer who's just a flaming something. And they go ahead and they pay the insurance, and my insurance company sends them copies of the payment, and they reject it. They put insurance on. I can't get it off. My payment's $5.99. All of a sudden, this month, they want $4,000 to pay the tax. The town sends it back because I pay the tax. And I don't know what to do with these people. They're just driving. They're trying to set me up for big trouble. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We've
got to go over that. That's a big question. We've got to go over that tomorrow.
Yeah,
wait.
I was going to say, that's really something you want to tackle tomorrow afternoon when you have more time, and it's specific to the foreclosures.
Okay, but anyways, the case in Maine is Bank of America versus Greenleaf.
Yeah, we'll look that up. Jeff, can you look that up, pal?
It's not printed yet, I don't think.
Bank of America versus who, please?
Greenleaf, it just occurred. Like
G-R-E-E-N-L-E-Y?
L-E-A-F.
Greenleaf.
Greenleaf.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Thank
so
you,
I'm
Jess.
Hoping.
Appreciate it, brother.
I'm hopeful that, you know, I don't have to get a lawyer to get them to, you know, apply this law, because in Maine, they really don't like pro se people. And I don't do really good quality work. I'm very spacey sometimes. But thanks for being here, guys.
All right.
Okay, well, thank you. Be sure to join Jesse at 3 o'clock tomorrow afternoon.
Yeah, we'll talk tomorrow for sure.
Thank you very much. All right.
All right, thank you. All right. We are going to go to 401 as soon as the board unmutes. There it is. 401, you've been unmuted. Go ahead, please.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Go ahead, please.
Okay. Quick question, I think. I have I had a couple of debt collectors trying to collect, two different agencies trying to collect on something that was about 180 days past due. Just out of the blue, I'm hearing from a new one on the same two accounts. So I'm just a little confused as to how do do I have to...
Are they all trying to collect at the same time here? Or is it one after the other over a period of time?
I sent debt validation letters to the first two, and I didn't get any response from either of them, although I did get some continued calls from one of them.
Right, but,
then,
but here again, let me ask my question again. Were they trying to collect at the same time, or was it one after another?
Well, it was two different accounts, and they were both trying to collect at the same time. I got letters about the same time from each of them.
On the same account or different accounts?
Yeah, two different accounts. So I had two collectors, one for each account.
Oh,
and then
all right.
Suddenly, they've both sort of disappeared. I stopped hearing from either of them for a couple of weeks, and all of a sudden I got one letter from a new collector for both of those accounts.
Okay.
I had two dying letters in one envelope.
Yeah, the new letters that you got for the accounts, who is the collector?
American Recovery Services.
Okay. They pay good, by the way.
Yeah, and who were the previous collectors?
I had Nationwide Credit and United Recovery Services.
Okay, those are familiar
Nationwide
names
really.
Yeah, their check's clear.
Nationwide. Yeah, Nationwide paid me much more than statutory damages.
They received debt validation request, and then I never heard from them again. And then United Recovery, I never got any validation, but they did keep robocalling me.
Violations. Those are all violations.
I sent them another certified letter a couple weeks ago, and I haven't heard anything since until today, when I got a new letter from this new debt collector for both of those accounts. And they were both just very recently charged off.
Charge off is an accounting function, right, John? It has nothing to do with
that's
anything.
Correct.
That's exactly right.
You're in real good shape with these accounts. I mean, I don't know what your question is, but you should just be laying low and keeping track and getting ready to sue at the appropriate time.
Yeah, and that's actually what I thought I should be doing. I just, you know, I wasn't sure if I should somehow follow up with the first two and say, hey, you know, have you
done
anything? There's nothing to follow up with. They're in violation already. So what do you got to follow up with other than a lawsuit? They're not going to file it anymore. They've already asked for validation. All they just pass it on to somebody else, which is another attempt to collect a debt. That's it. They're violated. You're done. Pay me. Have a good day.
Yep. Are you a member?
It seems like, wouldn't it be the original creditor sort of passing it around? Or
no, you have to worry about it. You can't sue the original creditor because the original creditor is not liable under the FDCPA. So you don't worry about the original creditor. What do you care who's passing it around? You just care whoever has it and pays you. That's all you care about.
I just
nothing more.
The original creditor was really pulling the strings on the whole thing.
Who cares? They're not going to
pay
you.
Yeah, it doesn't matter whether
is.
They are or aren't.
you're wanting
to overthink this. Think in terms of who tried to collect a debt and what and how many ways did they violate the law when they tried to collect it. That's all you should be concerned with.
Yeah.
Now,
nothing
I, again, I asked a couple times and evidently you didn't hear me. Are you a member?
Yes, sir. Yeah, I've
you
been
are.
A member.
Okay.
For, yeah.
Okay. go into taking their money section, start studying.
You
oh, yeah.
You
know how to go after them.
Have you checked your credit report?
I recently signed up for a credit service, and I'm getting reports once a month. I just got my second report.
Okay, is there anything on there you need to dispute?
No, I have no credit pulls. I mean, I don't like the history that I see, but I can't really dispute that, right?
Why not?
Why can't you? Who made that rule up?
The missed payments and stuff, you know.
You can dispute anything and see what happens. Anything can be disputed.
Okay.
Very simply. Anything can be disputed. So your disputes will go out tomorrow, right?
They yeah, I will, definitely.
Oh,
I got the,
there you
I
go.
I got my new debt validation letters out today.
Okay.
I sent
well,
two, one for each of those dunning letters.
Right, okay. But the ones to the credit reporting agencies go out tomorrow, right? The power of suggestion here.
Yes.
You sent two... debt validation letters, one to each debt collector?
Well, I got two dunning letters and one envelope from this new debt collector, so I
no,
replied.
Answer my question. Did you send two debt validation letters. Did you send one to each collector?
Yes. The original collectors each got one. And then
okay.
Now I have this new one that just showed up, and I just mailed him out two letters, two validation
Why?
Requests. Because they
Why?
Sent me two dunning letters in one
no,
envelope.
In one letter. Oh, for is it two different accounts?
Yeah.
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 Oh, okay. That's
yeah, you sent one for each individual account.
Correct.
Yeah, okay. You're good. Okay,
right, you're,
well, you
yeah,
know what
you've
got to do tomorrow, right?
Yeah,
yeah.
You're great on signing up for FDCPA, but you got to get moving on FCRA, potential violations.
Okay.
Yep, and doing that dispute with the CRAs tomorrow, that's where you draw the line in the sand and start the clock ticking. All right, that take care of you?
Could I just ask one really quick one? I
well,
got a different request from somebody else. It was for a lesser amount than I believe that I really owe. Is that also a mischaracterization?
If they're attempting to collect an improper amount, then it's a misrepresentation.
Yeah,
of the amount
less.
And character of a debt, 1692E2, whether it's more or less.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. That was it.
All righty. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. Yeah, I kind of hate to hurry everybody here, but that's what we got to do. We only got so much time. We're going to go to 754. You've been unmuted. Go ahead, please. Area code 754. You've been unmuted for your question.
I'm sorry. Hey guys, how you doing?
Pretty good.
Good. Good
how
evening.
Are you?
Good. Good. I have an FDCPA case going on in the Fed court, and we've had our 26F conference 2 weeks ago, and I immediately sent out my discovery the next day. Now the attorney is putting in a motion to stay discovery. They're trying to dismiss my case. So my question is, the first
round.
You're
in opposition to discovery.
Okay, we did that the first round, and the judge gave us leave to amend our complaint. So now we're starting all back over again. So I should still put another opposition.
I didn't understand.
Well, I didn't either.
Yeah.
Okay. The first time when we did our first amended complaint, they put in a state for discovery, and the judge gave us leave to amend our complaint. So all
what's
that was
got, what's that got to do? What's that got to do with discovery?
don't know, but he didn't. I mean, he put it. I mean, he granted them their motion to stay discovery.
Did you do a motion?
He denied
to,
ours. He denied.
You did a motion in opposition to discovery.
Yes, and he denied ours, but he granted theirs.
That makes no sense to me.
So
have
now
you done your 26F and filed your 26F?
Yes, we did. We did. 2 weeks ago.
And the judges ordered the discovery.
No, he
yes,
put a stay
did.
On the
no,
discovery.
No, he put
right.
a stay
no,
on.
No, that was the
Jeff.
First time. Right. Hold on. That was the for the first amended complaint. We just submitted another second amended complaint prior to 2 weeks ago.
What's
so
the reason you gave for granting that motion to stay?
Pending the motions that to dismiss, pending our their dispositive motions to dismiss our complaint.
Sorry, that's
no
pretty
sense.
Unusual, but nothing you can do about it. You just need
yeah.
to wait.
Just wait. Oh, okay. Well, that's what I wanted to know.
Have you answered the motion to dismiss?
Yes, I did, Friday. Just
okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Then it's hurry up and wait time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
More studying.
Go get a hamburger.
Okay.
Yep. Get off
okay,
the grill.
Perfect. Thanks, guys.
All right. Thank you, dear.
Thanks.
Yeah, sometimes you just got to sit down and have a nice little barbecue and give them time to do what they got to do. All right. Let's go to 602. You've been unmuted. Go ahead, please.
Hello. I'm a brand new member. This is the first time I've ever talked to anyone on a call. Forgive me if I messed
well.
This up. I have... two questions, if I may. I think the first one will be really fast. The second one is about a lawsuit that I'm involved in. Where would you like to start, or am I only allowed to ask one?
One
Go
question.
Ahead with your one question.
Yeah. Pick one. Very short.
Okay.
Remember, get
one
to
question.
The point. No
here,
long
here
stories.
It here it is. There was a debt that was charged off and purchased by a debt collector, and they sent
okay.
me letters, and this was 3-4 years ago. I don't think I have enough documentation from back then to go after them for FCRA and or Fair Debt Collection Practices. But then I received a letter from like an ambulance chasing lawyer that said, you've been sued by so-and-so. Here's the case number. Let us represent you. And that was about 7 months ago. And I've been following the court record online. Because
you haven't responded at all?
I have not been served.
Oh.
This was an ambulance chasing lawyer, and I've seen that happen as well, where they check the records and they say, oh, well, hey, we'll represent you in your case. You've been sued.
Yeah, they're not really relevant to my relevant to my question, except that they were how I was notified of the lawsuit.
Right, that's what
I found out. Yeah. I have not been served.
Okay.
They've been trying. I moved twice in that 6 month period, and both times I filed address changes with the court, and I mailed the attorney letters. Hey, here's my new address. They still haven't come to find me. And
why in the world would you do that? Why
yeah.
you?
Well, I know better. I mean, I've been a member for.
Oh, okay.
All
right.
You know, and I'm quite frankly, a friend recommended that I check you guys out, and I think you guys are amazing so far. And
thank
I've
you.
Been using, yeah, you're welcome. Nowhere else have I found this information aggregated the way you guys have it. The question I'm asking is what are they haven't checked my credit in 2 years. I looked at my credit report, one credit report yesterday, TransUnion, which shows all of the history on it, credit polls and stuff, and they haven't checked my credit in 2 years, and as far as I know in Arizona where I am, it's compulsory arbitration below $15,000 in the debt. They're asking for $10,300, which I think is the wrong amount. The only letters that they've mailed me have been crappy photo, like printouts of an account number and my name and address and a dollar amount. That's all I've ever received from them, wondering if you guys can advise me.
You know, more important to me is, when was the last time you made a payment?
Well, that's another interesting question. That is about 3.5-4 years ago.
Well, you got to be accurate. That's this huge gap. So,
well,
it's 4,
I think
3.5, 5, what is it? You got to be accurate. And the reason I'm telling you is, If it's past the statute of limitations and they filed suit, it's over.
Well, so Arizona changed their law in 2009 to make their statute of limitations 6 years, and they're well within that. However,
okay.
In 2009, when they changed it, I would have been outside of those current statute of limitations.
Right. But you're not.
How? You just paid 3.5 or 4 years ago.
Well, the statute of limitations used to be 3 years, and I looked it up on the credit report, and I would have made it under those statute of limitations had the law not been changed. And a lawyer who I talked to suggested that I could argue, well, I was within those statute of limitations before it was changed, therefore that I really should be out. They can't come after me now. It's been too long. And he said
that's incorrect, because the violation, the alleged violation of the contract happened after the 6 years was in effect.
No, before. It happened the 6 years.
You said last time you paid was 3.5 or 4 years ago.
Well, let me
right, and Larry, the old statute of limitations was 3 years, and they changed it to six.
Right.
If I was just under the cusp of that old three-year limitation, I would have been in the clear, and then they changed it to 6 years. And the attorney apparently is going off of the change, saying, well, I'm imagining what he's going to argue is, well, Matt, you know, he should be under the new law, not the old law, even though I was
can't. It doesn't work that way.
It doesn't? Okay.
No, absolutely not.
All right. Well, we've spent a bunch of time here. I'm going to have to ask you to come back and recycle yourself in. And if we keep going
but
here,
what's the question? I never got a question.
See.
Did you get a question?
Well, my question, I mean, I can recycle myself. I think you answered the question already.
Ask your question very rapidly, please.
My question is, are you guys hearing any violations with the statute of limitation change and with the letter that they sent me, which just had an account number and a value? It didn't have any verification to it whatsoever.
I hear a lot of violations under the FDCPA, but you got to look at your state laws. They're just as important. So you got to look at both.
Okay. That helps.
We don't know if they've called you. There's a lot of factors we don't know. So you're going to have to sit and learn. Again, you're trying to eat a whole elephant, and you can't. You're going to choke to death. One bite at a time. Pick one part of that. You can't, because you're never going to learn. You're going to get frustrated, and you're going to become a non-member, and you're going to lose out on a bunch of benefits. Because you're letting yourself get frustrated or buried too much into this stuff. You got to hit what part do I want to address first. Go hit that, get clarity on it, go to the website, type in on the search, frequently violated FDCPA, it'll come up as a Word doc, download it, print it out, put it on your desk, and start asking yourself questions. Did it violate this part, this part, this part? If how, make yourself notes how and when it occurred. And there's your case. You're done. It's literally that simple.
Could I get them to?
I know it sounds crazy.
Again?
I'm sorry.
Could someone get a case dropped based on those violations?
Well,
like counter-suit.
No, it's not dropped. It's you sue them for more than they owe you, or you owe them.
Oh.
Generally, it goes away because they didn't pay the pennies
sense.
On the dollar. And then on top of that, you have to check your credit report. So
thanks,
a lot of stuff.
Bye.
We have to move on. Go ahead. I've got you in the list here. If we get down, we'll be able to come back to you to get another question, but we have to move on. Okay? Thank you. All right. I got to play the bad guy here. We're going to go to 302. 302, you've been unmuted. Go ahead, please.
Good evening, guys. I just have a quick question about a notice of sheriff sale of real property that I received. The thing is, my question is, I'm receiving this after I filed bankruptcy 3 years ago in relation to this property. So I'm just trying to figure out which way I should go and how I should handle this.
Okay, you have to repeat the question. What am I missing here, Dave?
What kind of bankruptcy you filed?
Yeah.
Seven.
You filed a seven.
Liquidation.
Yeah, it's a complete liquidation, and they haven't done anything with the house since then?
Since 11, yes, since 2011. 2011, yeah. 10-4-11 was the discharge of BK.
Wow, 3 years they've been sitting on it doing nothing.
Yeah, you know what you could do is actually go after whoever it is. And correct me if I'm wrong, and the attorney for Latches, under Latches, it's been 3 years. They've had more than enough time, plus the duration of your bankruptcy to do something, and they failed to take an action they could have taken.
Right.
And if you understand Latches, what it's saying is you didn't take it within a timely fashion, so now you just can't take it at all.
That's
so
the doctrine of Latches, L-A-T-C-H-E-S.
If I were you, I would probably gather up a few nickels and go see a good attorney because you might have a property free and clear right there.
Are you kidding?
Wow. No, I'm not kidding.
She's dead serious. That's why he's saying
that. Right. Jesse tells you to go see an attorney, it's because I know damn good and well it's above your head.
Gotcha.
You need to go tell them what's going on and say, Latches. You don't have to say nothing about nothing. I did some research on the theory, or what is it, Dave? The Latches, but
doctrine
that's a technical
of
term.
Doctrine of Latches.
And I think that this falls under that. What is your opinion on that? And that's it.
Yeah.
I think you might fall over when you find out what he might tell you.
Beautiful. They do advise me that I shouldn't contact them because they couldn't give me no advice. They do say that you should get your own attorney.
Of course. And I'm telling you the same thing.
Oh, yeah. You would never ask them for advice. No.
Oh, hell no, I wouldn't. But I'm just saying
that
you mentioned that, and it's on the MERS. So, okay, cool beans. I'll get me some money together and get me the Doctrine of Latches. Gotcha.
And in the meantime, go Google it, Doctrine of Latches, and study it and learn about what it means so that you're understanding it when you go to talk to the lawyer, okay?
Beautiful. Anything on the membership side that I could look at also?
Well, you can look at taking their money section and how all this falls into the FDCPA, FCCPA, I mean, the FCR, not FCCP, FCRA, too, Gelich credit reports. Yeah. Because who's trying to take it now versus, you know, if it was discharged in the bankruptcy, they shouldn't have been reporting for the last 3 years. So then you have to file right now immediately a notice of dispute if it's on there and get that ball rolling. You know, there's all kinds of things you can do. You need to just go talk to a good attorney. Don't talk to them about nothing but them latches, though. You can handle the rest.
Got it.
Okay.
Thanks.
Very good.
That's incredible. 3 years,
yeah.
Man. Holy
like,
Lord.
Oh, man. Jeez.
Lucky bastard. I had to fight for 6.5.
A whole lot of people out there would love to have that deal. All right. Let's go to 240. 240, you've been unmuted.
Hi, it's Cynthia. I just got an interesting situation I just wanted to share. Basically, over the past 3 or 4 months, and there were occasions where it would be 2 times a day, for which I would write down the phone number that was the incoming call from caller ID. I would call it back, and I did research and verified that it is a landline number. However, when I called the number, the automated system would say that it was disconnected. And the voicemail phone number for callback is a toll-free number.
Common. Very common.
Yeah. That's nothing unusual.
All they did was basically rent the line, that number, for outbound calls only.
Well,
have you Googled the number?
Suspicious. Yeah,
doesn't
give any information on the phone number other than it's landline.
No. I want to clarify, make sure that you're understanding my question. The number, the callback number?
Right.
Does it, have you Googled that?
Yeah.
Where does that lead? Yeah.
All it gives me is that it's a landline number. That's it.
No. Where does the 800 number go?
Sallie Mae, student loan.
Okay. It's weird.
They're telling you to call Sallie Mae.
Right.
Now, were these calls on your landline or on your cell?
Landline. I don't have a cell.
Okay. Well, there isn't much you could probably do about it on landline then.
Okay.
Wish I had more good news for you, but landline, there's probably not a whole lot you can do on it there. So
yeah,
calling
landline,
cell phone
no,
without
right.
Without express consent, then you got something, but not on landline.
Well, I did make
okay.
it clear that I did not want any phone calls at all more than a year ago.
Uh-huh. But if they were to call you a whole bunch, in other words, harassing, then you may have a claim under FDCPA, depending on who's calling.
And what qualifies as harassment?
If they you know, are making 3, 4, 5 calls a day, if they're calling you, you know, 5 or 10 times a month, I don't think you're going to get a court that's going to sympathize with you and say it's harassment. They're just going to say it's debt collection.
Well, it was daily, 2 times a day, once in the morning, once at night, for over 3 months.
That's harassment.
Because I've been keeping a detailed phone log.
Right. Jesse, Larry, would you agree with that's harassment?
Yeah, I agree. Absolutely.
That's all. I just
okay.
wanted to share.
Yep. Okay. Does that take care of you then?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep.
All right. Let's go to 813. You've been unmuted. Go ahead, please.
Hey, this is Diane in Tampa. I finally got around to filing my FDCPA complaint against my servicer and the substitute trustee. And what I got back was that I named the wrong plaintiff. The person who's suing me is Bank of New York Mellon as a substitute trustee. But in a federal lawsuit, my FDCPA complaint was to the servicer, and the servicer is in the Bank of New York Mellon. And they came back and said that I named the wrong defendant in Bank of New York Mellon, that I have to go after the trust itself. And to me, that seems like a bunch of smoke and mirrors, because the trust is not suing me for a foreclosure. Bank of New York Mellon is suing me. So if I go in and have to amend my complaint with the defendant, do I just keep Bank of New York Mellon in there and name this trust?
Well,
who is suing you?
Yeah, that was my question. Specifically, who is the plaintiff on the suit against you?
I'm the plaintiff in the FDCPA.
I understand that. Who is this plaintiff against you?
Bank of New York Mellon. As
what?
As substitute trustee.
So you got to sue them exactly that way. There's your answer. They're right.
Well, that's how I put it. I am named Bank of New York Mellon, but do I have to put them as substitute trustee?
Absolutely.
Okay, so that's what I did incorrectly, because they said
right.
they said that I've not named it. I have to go after the trust itself.
Exactly.
Okay, so all I have to do is come back and amend Bank of New York Mellon as substitute. Well, actually, they're Bank of New York Mellon, formerly Bank of New York.
Yeah, whatever. We get it. It doesn't matter. Just get it in there correctly.
Yeah.
You're going through, you know, you're going through this with a fine-tooth comb. Your answer's right there. You got to sue it exactly as who's suing you is who you have to sue them back.
Okay.
Does that
make
sense?
I got it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes
sense. Don't overcomplicate it, because you're going to kill yourself. Don't do it.
Okay, so just name it exactly as they named themselves.
That's right.
Exactly.
See, this details. When it comes to legal work, you can't just say, well, you know, they said they're Bank of New York Mellon, so I'm going to sue them. Not when it says Bank of New York Mellon as trustee for da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. The way that it's stated on what they're suing you on is exactly who you have to go back after.
Okay.
Letter
okay.
for letter.
So they, okay. So
however, if you've gotten any documents from them showing a different version of that name, then make sure those are included as defendants.
Exactly.
Let them sort it out.
I do have documents where they just are, well, they just stamped the line as Bank of New York Mellon.
Okay.
And it was, and the assignment, the reason why I'm even including them as a debt collector is because 2 months after they filed foreclosure, they got an assignment from MERS to Bank of New York Mellon occurred 2 months after they started their foreclosure. So that's why I'm including them as a debt collector.
Yeah, the point is make sure you include every single version that could possibly have violated and let them sort it out.
Oh, okay. So they have presented themselves as just Bank of New York Mellon. They presented themselves Bank of New York Mellon as substitute trustee. All of those versions.
Right.
I have to put all of those in there.
Okay. Yeah, if you can justify a possible violation by any of them, then include them. The worst that could happen is some of them are going to be taken out.
Yep.
Yeah, now keep in mind, if you put multiple names in there, multiple defendants, you have to be able to articulate specific violation by each individual defendant. You can't just put them at the top of the lawsuit and not change anything in the body and not make a specific allegation against them, or they'll put in a motion to dismiss and it'll be granted immediately. Okay? You have to make a specific allegation of wrongdoing.
Even though they've already come back to me and said that I am improper party that I'm suing.
No, you're not understanding what I'm saying. You know, when you wrote up your initial lawsuit, you had Bank of New York Mellon. You stated in your lawsuit cause of action for this or that. They violated this or they violated that. All right. If you add two more defendants, then you have to change your complaint and you have to specifically state a violation or violations that each one of those new entities committed. You can't just leave that all the same and just change the names up at the top, because then you're not making a specific allegation against those new defendants. And they'll put in a motion to dismiss failure to state a claim upon which relief can be granted, because you never said what they did wrong.
Okay, so Larry just said include every possible version of the name. Can I just state for each one of them the same complaint that I'm filing against Bank of New York Mellon? Can I list each one and have the same complaint?
You have to state a cause of action against each one. If it happens to be
the same
one, then so be it. But in the body of it, you have to state specifically each one committed a violation. That's what I'm trying to impress upon you, because if you don't, it'll go nowhere. Okay?
Okay. I understand that. Okay. I got it.
All righty. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's got to do that kind of stuff, or boy, you'll get a motion to dismiss slapped on you so quick it will make your head spin. Okay, let's go to 360, you've been unmuted. And who is it that's making all that noise? We're doing pretty good. How are you?
Good. I had a question. One was a Bank of America in my suit. I had sent off discovery, and I got back. Well, Banna asked to have an extra 30 days, so I was nice and let him have it. And then when they gave back the request, of course, it was all met with literally a load of objections. They're all boilerplate and actually contradicted one another. So I went ahead and created my motion to compel. And while I was doing that, Banna wanted to sign a stipulation protective order that was very broad and like a blanket. And they I didn't want to do it, but they made, I went ahead and signed it, but the judge rejected it, thankfully, for good reason. So I emailed my Banna immediately when the judge issued that order that I would sign a confidentiality agreement. And so as I sit right now, they've had 60 days to answer this discovery, which although was boilerplate, I've given them an extra 2 weeks. They've had my motion to compel for a week now. I've been willing to sign a confidentiality agreement. I would like to know what would be your opinion. What would you do in the situation? Would you wait another 2 weeks and let them know that you're just going to go ahead and compel if they don't get any answers in 2 weeks?
Well, they're already past the deadline, right?
Well, I extended them the 60 days. They gave
me
their answers.
Okay, but are they past the deadline of any extensions you've given them?
Well, maybe I didn't make myself clear. I gave them that extra 30 days, and then that's when they gave me their answers, which were boilerplate objections. So I went ahead and told them that I was going to file a motion to compel.
Motion to compel, right. And they haven't answered you yet.
Well, exactly, and I gave them that motion, and I also told them why I objected to each discovery question. I mean, I just spent 2 days all-nighter just doing that. It's because I might have to give it to the judge if he wants to read it. And so now that whole process of I told them I was going to do a motion to compel, we're into it 10 days now. Their discovery was due on the 2nd of September. So now it's the 16th, and I've been in steady communication. And I'm just kind of wondering, because the judges in the federal courts, you know, if you motion to compel too soon, they might monetarily sanction you. And so I
no.
Wanted to
Where'd
maybe,
you hear this
no,
nonsense?
No,
Where'd you hear
no.
this crap?
Yeah.
Well, I just
really?
Read the rules in the Washington – I just read the rules in the Washington Western Washington rules. And,
I'm sure those rules say specifically that if you put it in too soon, they'll fight you. I'm sure that's exactly what I said.
Yeah. The bottom line here is you've given, in my opinion, my view, you've given them enough time.
You've been super
it's time
nice.
To get out the big croquet mallet and
that's
tell
right.
them, okay, you see this big buddy? You get with the program right now or I'm going to whack you with it. And
right.
That doesn't
well,
mean another 10
listen.
Days or 2 weeks.
That's right. You have been more, way more generous than I would have ever been.
Me too.
Way
well,
more.
Anyway, and the second one, which was interesting, and that has to deal with a typical debt collector that when I asked him for verification and validation of a medical debt, they went ahead and gave me all the lab and test results that were done on my wife. As a validation of that alleged debt.
Oh my God!
That's
are you kidding?
HIPAA violation.
That happened twice. That happened twice within a month. Two different debt collectors.
Okay,
yeah.
you
they
need to sue them
said,
for HIPAA too.
Well, that's
well,
just the thing. I
there's
don't
no
know
right
I have
a medical record floating all over the place.
Well, what?
Yeah, yeah
there is. You can sue whoever divulged it originally, I'm pretty sure.
It was the original creditor, the hospital. Well,
the
I'm
hospital.
Guessing it was. They must have had to get the information because how could a third party get the information if they stole it? The hospital had to give that to them.
Exactly.
Of course.
Right.
So now I'm going to have to address the hospital. Now, I haven't investigated HIPAA, so I don't know. Did you say there was a private right of action with that?
I'm not aware that there is a private right of action. It's my understanding there is not.
Yeah, I'm almost positive there is against the whoever divulged it, not whoever's giving it to you now.
Okay, and that would
but
be...
But check it. I've never
okay,
done
I,
it,
I
but I'm positive I read that.
I mean, that's just ridiculous. Okay, well, good. Good advice. Good insight to both of those, and I'll let you know how that motion to compel goes.
Okay, good deal, yeah.
So, because that's how I'm going to have to do my depositions. I wanted to have all the documents. And, of course, this is dealing with the TCPA thing. And I don't know what they're going to do with that. You know, but just as a little funny thing aside, they in their little discovery, they said admit that you have no proof that Vanna used an auto dialer. And what's so funny, you know how you talked about LinkedIn as your friend? I just went into LinkedIn, and I found several Vanna employees who specifically were vice presidents of the auto dialing system. It was crazy.
Oh, jeez.
So, I mean, I had all that listed down. I actually went on the website of Bank of America and all the applications for the actual consumer customer service and collectors actually stated in there, you have experience with auto dialers. So that was great.
Yep.
That's really great. Be a little bit careful when you do that because they know who has looked at their profiles. So if you do something like that, and this is for everybody, get a friend to do it.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
It's not that big a deal, but you don't want them knowing that you're, you know, looking at their LinkedIn.
Yeah, you don't want to tip your hand that you know everything you know.
Yeah, well, it's so obvious that there are a bunch of criminals in this TCPA thing. Or not, you know, I use that word loosely, but I'm going to get them. They ain't getting around it. And I told Dave in another call, we can't settle this case because it's connected to the big house case. So they can't settle. And we're going to have to go to trial over it. So that means I'm going to have to depose them and hammer their butt for it.
Yeah,
so.
You got to go the whole way. And by the way, HIPAA has no private right of action per se. I just wanted to get this clear because we've talked about it so damn long.
That's my understanding.
It does have a cause of action basically for negligence. So while it doesn't carry a private right of action, you say, oh, you violated it. If you prove to the court and or the jury that it was negligence, then there's an action that you can go after him for, and that's for negligence.
Really?
That's kind of funky. Yeah, that's what it says.
Right.
Yeah.
Because they disseminate that information to the debt collector, and how many employees at the debt collector have access to that? How secure is their system? How many people have access to that information? See, that's where it really blows up into something big. Because they don't have a confidential system at a debt collection company.
That's
multiple people
can
see it.
Maybe I can hire a lawyer for that one.
That might be something to consider.
Yeah.
Okay, we got another caller here. We got to jump over here and see if we can get him in. Thank you.
Yep, thank you.
All right, we're going to go to 239. You've been unmuted. Go ahead, please.
Hello.
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 Can hear you.
Thanks, Dave. Hey, I got a question. It kind of goes along with the question the guy just had. I got a call on my home phone from a group that they're doing a study for COPD. And what I was wondering is there an action against that? Because how do they know that my wife was diagnosed with it a couple of years ago, and I was wondering how they would know that she would have that. She doesn't.
That's a good question, isn't it?
You know,
that's a good question.
Wait a second. I may have some insight to that. Who contacted you about that?
It was some group study that they were doing and wanted to know if they wanted to be involved in it. They left a message on the recorder, and I'm like, to me, I don't know how they would know that they just died. She went in for an asthma problem, and they diagnosed her with COPD. She doesn't have COPD. She has asthma. She has for her entire life.
Right.
And
so the doctor reported it to the insurance company, and the insurance company reported it to Health and Human Services, and they dispersed the information to the study.
Okay. Well hold on.
They care wonderful.
We don't have insurance, so I know they couldn't have reported it to the insurance because we don't have any insurance.
But this doctor still files your medical records with Health and Human Services.
Oh, okay.
No, Jeff, that's pure speculation, and it's probably not accurate because those records shouldn't be public. However, data mining is so prevalent now, there's any number of ways that information could be given to somebody else. If she did a search on Google or posted something on Facebook, people can get that information.
No, she doesn't do any of that stuff. I can get.
I'm just giving you examples.
Yeah, yeah,
there's any number of ways that could have happened, and to speculate on exactly how is wasted time.
Right. But what my question is that any violation of any right of action laws that you can take against someone for, you know, because I'm like, how in the world did they know that? You know, it's like, it bugs me that someone else would know that.
Well, there are exceptions for certain nonprofit organizations. What the guidelines are for those, what's included, what is not included, I do not know. But I believe there are some exceptions for nonprofits, and I'm going to guess that if somebody's doing a study, very possibly they might be a nonprofit organization. So you might want to delve into some of that. But you're okay. Saying that they called and they left an automated message, right?
Right, automated message.
Right. And this was on a landline?
On a landline. Two different times.
You know, it could be a coincidence. I get calls about medical studies all the time that have absolutely nothing. Well, I don't have any medical issues, but has absolutely nothing to do with any information that could have been transmitted anywhere.
Right, right.
Larry, I think that's very inaccurate because mental issues are medical.
I've never gotten a call for that.
Don't try to delineate the difference. They're both medical.
I think I'm good there.
I'm not going to say a word to that.
Got to end the night with a good chuckle, man, you know?
There you go.
All righty.
All right. That's
it's odd. Larry's right. Who knows? That could be a million different things. Who in God's green earth knows?
All right. Thanks, guys.
Yeah. Right. You bet. Yeah, just my two cents worth on things. You know, we look for TCPA violations, and occasionally I get a call somewhere here or there that, and this is just me speaking personally for my own two cents, that I'm not going to generally bother somebody on one, maybe two errant calls, unless it's a debt collector. And the debt collectors are my prime target. And if somebody else would create a big problem, I would not have a problem going after them. But my main focus is the debt collection industry. That's who I want to divest of as much cash as possible, any chance I get. So that's my two cents worth. But that was our last caller with their hand up tonight, and we're right about the top of the hour here. So I'll go ahead and do the announcements. Tomorrow afternoon at 3 o'clock, Jesse is going to be doing open Q&A on foreclosure. So all of you that have got foreclosure questions, that's your chance to have at it with him and have much more time for discussion of your specific situations. Again, that is a webinar. You have to be a member. If you're not a member, then you better get signed up and get in there. It's at 3 o'clock, and to get the information for that, just go to the webinar schedule, and you'll get the user ID and the password to get in there. Then, of course, tomorrow night is Terry's call. If you are not on Terry's mailing list, send an email to queensongbird@gmail.com. Simply say, I'd like to be on the list, please. And do that right away. My goodness, don't wait until late tomorrow afternoon because you probably won't get a reminder, and that's not being courteous to Terry on top of that. So if you need to get on her list, please do that right away. And that starts at 8 o'clock Eastern, and hers is done on a different system. That's on freeconferencing.com. Then we go around the clock from Terry's call tomorrow night all the way to Monday when we have Dallas debt discussion on Monday night at 9 o'clock Eastern. That is on talkshoe.com. The PIN number is 54318. We're always there. I've never missed a Monday night, and we're in our sixth year. So it's always going on. There's always help to, if we can't answer a question, give you some suggestions and guidance on where you might be able to find an answer. But as I've said so many times, these calls are not a substitute for being a member of the website. They absolutely are not, because you get bits and pieces here. The website gives you the full picture, gives you all the information with the resources where you can study things in a logical and complete manner. everything from how to defend a lawsuit against you to filing a lawsuit against them and understanding what you are doing in the process. It's more than just filling out paperwork and filling in blanks on a template. We have some people that try and do that occasionally, and it usually does not produce a favorable result. You do need to study and learn the law so that if you are challenged, you can give a good explanation of why you filed your suit, and you don't look like a typical pro se who, in most cases, is clueless, and they just found something on the Internet. But also, during that interim time from tomorrow night to Monday, all the members, please remember to use the forum. That's where you post your questions. You can get answers. That builds a library for all those people to come in the future, and it gets you information quicker. So please utilize that. And don't forget about the search functions in both the forum and the website in general. So, Jesse, you got any final words you want to throw out?
Yeah, actually, I'm just going to go ahead and say something that I think everybody here, as far as a moderator, will agree with you. If you're on these calls, if you're on Dave's calls, and if you're on Terry's calls, and you're really not a member and you're trying to use pieces and parts, it probably benefits you to not even be on the call because you're probably going to get hurt in the long run because you don't have all the details. So what happens is you're getting pieces and parts and not getting the whole thing, whether it's 10% you're missing, 50%, 60%, you're going to get bit. We promise you, you're going to get bit. That's the way it works. It's unfortunate, but it is what it is. So just keep that in mind. And I think all the moderators will agree. Getting pieces will hurt you rather than getting the whole entirety. And it's not beneficial to you. What it does is get you excited and lead you down the wrong path sometimes, and you don't have the support to go with it. So, but with that being said, obviously, October 7th, guys, Winning at Foreclosure webinar series. I can't wait. I'm excited as hell. And I know our moderators are too. So with that being said, God bless everybody. Have a great week. And I will see you tomorrow at 3. Be there or be square, as the old saying goes. Have a great
there
night. Thanks to our moderators again. Can't do it without you guys. Have a terrific, terrific night, guys.
You're welcome. And
have a great
night.
Evening, everybody.
All right, guys. Talk to you later.
Good night.
Night.
Good night.